We are in the middle of Perek Chof Hei. In the middle of Perek Chof Hei, we're up to Pasuk Yud Beis. Nezem Zav V'Chalich Chosem Oichiyah Chocham Al Oizen Shoyim Moas. This goes back to something that we discussed this on Friday. I told you on Friday that I quoted a sefer, pasuk yud beis, perik chofei pasuk yud beis, a nezem zahav, a gold ring, v'chali chosem. Chosem is gold. It's a form of gold. I'm not sure what type of gold there are. Chayni Chazal told us there are seven types of gold, but here chosem is gold. Chali is an ornament, a piece of jewelry. It parallels the expression Chali Chosem, parallels Nezem Zav, two different types of pieces of jewelry. Is Mechia Chocham Al Oizen Shoim Moas. This is a mashal for words of rebuke that are received by a receptive ear. In other words, just like if a person listens to words of Musar, it is Kedai, it is worthy to beautify the ear. That's what jewelry is. Jewelry is a piece of an ornament which beautifies a certain part of the body. The nose, the ear, the neck, the finger. You put a piece of jewelry on your finger. Why, what are you doing when you're putting a piece of jewelry or ring on your finger? You're beautifying the finger. Etzpa Elokim. It means that the person's actions. In the end of Mishnah, we're going to learn about Eish Eschayil. When you give a woman a ring, what are you doing when you give a woman a ring, a gold ring? You're saying that she has beautiful deeds. You're saying that her maase yodayim, her fingers, her actions are beautiful. You're beautifying her fingers. When you put a neck, give a woman a necklace, what are you saying? You're saying that she has a beautiful neck. What is the neck symbolic of? The chibur of the ruchnius and the gashmius. Your ability to synthesize, to connect ruchnius and gashmius. You put an ornament on the ear, it means you're a good listener. You listen to me vent. The nose, the koyach hachayim, it represents, a nose ring is a very different type of ring. In a chanami, nose ring represents the koyach hachayim, or reach. Maybe it means nose is sense. Women have a bina yisair, they can sniff, they can sense. There's certain things which you can't actually prove, but you can sense it's true, it's not true, what's right, what's wrong.
Intuition.
Woman's intuition. Okay, but here the pasuk does give this example. That's what it says in the Farshin Mitzudas, is that we have a mashal, a nezem zav, and a chali chosem, is a mashal for when a wise man rebukes another individual, and the words are received al oizen shoymoas, on the ear of the listener. When that person listens to those words, it's kedai to put a beautiful piece of jewelry upon those ears. Let's take a look at the Mesudas Pasuk of Yudeis. Pasuk says nezem zav kmo nezem zav im adi kivutso sakesem, together with adi means an ornament. Yeah. On last week's parsha, Hashem told Moshe to tell Klai Yisrael to take off their jewelry, to remove hoser edicha me'olecha, remove the jewelry from upon you. In what?
Horeid
edicha me'olecha. Im adi, what's im adi? Kavutzas sakesem. Kavutzas means a collection of gold. Okay, now he's basically saying we have here two different types of jewelry. Shanezem yofehi la'adi hakesem. A nezem, a ring, its beauty to a adi hakesem, to an ornament of a gold. V'loy bilada. I'm not really sure what this means. Okay, one more time. Kmo nezem zav im a nezem zav im adi kivu im adi, with an ornament. Kvutzas hakesem shehanezem yofehi la'adi hakesem. A nezem is beautiful to an ornament of silver. Again, I'm not exactly sure how you read these words together, what it means, but it's an expression which means some type of form of jewelry.
It's a combination. You have a piece of jewelry and it has the gold is.
The chali, I'm saying it's one thing, it's one piece of jewelry?
It's a gold.
So you're suggesting is that it's one, that these four words go together? A nezem zav v'chali chosem. A gold ring that is attached to a setting an ornament of kesem, of gold, of another type of gold. It could be, it's one type, piece of jewelry. The Medrash, I'll explain to you in a moment, interprets this as referring to two different pieces of jewelry. And it's poetic repetition. I'll show that to you in a moment. But maybe you are correct, maybe here according to the Mitzvah is trying to suggest that it's one piece of jewelry which has two parts. There's a nezem zav that is attached to a chali chosem, to a setting, an ornament that's also made from some type of gold. And then the Mitzvah goes on, it's part of the previous expression, it is beautiful. The musar of the wise man, al oizen hashoimas, to a receptive ear. Ki im ein shamea lo loinikar yofia. If no one listens to the words of rebuke, then it's not noticeable. The beauty of the words has no effect. The beauty of a speech is when someone listens.
Falling on their ears.
So then it's nonsense. Just eloquent baloney. My father used to tell me about a certain person that he, his koyach adibor is noydava oyon, the vocabulary and his expressions, but he very rarely says anything of substance to say. And the expression he used, eloquent baloney. There's absolutely no message in the.
He's played it.
Played it?
Played it. Yeah. Played it.
Babbling. Okay, so this is over here. This here is Al Oizen Shemas. According to the Mitzvah, it says if no one's going to listen to what the person has to say, then it's not Niko, the Yofi, or the beauty. That's the beauty is when someone actually pays attention to what is being said. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Yudeis. Nezem Zov Achali Kesem. Adi Kvutzas. Adi is an ornament. Kvutzas Zov. Adi chali kosem, chali is another word for an adi, an ornament. A kosem is kivutzas zov, a collection of gold. Kmo vataad nizma v'chalisa. She adorned herself with her nose ring and her jewelry. This is the pasuk we're telling, describing Klal Yisrael that they beautified themselves. Vataad means to adorn. Nizma, what?
It's a negative
with Avodah Zarah. Doing Avodah Zarah.
Yeah,
negative, so she adorned herself with her nose ring and with Vachalisa and her jewelry. So here we have those same two words are put together in that pasuk. Kmo Chaloim, another pasuk in Shir Hashirim, also Chaloim, which also there refers to jewelry. Okay, Kesem. Kesem, what is Kesem? Losom Tachshit. Zahav. Kesem is gold. It's used in the context of an ornament of gold, in Kesem Paz. And then Shir Hashim also, it says Kesem Paz, fine gold. Kesem Tar Paz, the Musrosho. Okay, so this the Musrosho is like the finest gold. It's a form of gold. It's a gold that is used in jewelry. There are different types. There's gold that they use in industry, industrial gold. They use for different types of transmitters,
connections,
different types of things, all different types of gold. But this
yellow
type of gold, yellow, all different types of gold, which each one has different functions. So this kesem is a type of gold that is used specifically for jewelry. I guess it has a certain strength, it has a certain ability to manipulate it, to shape it, and it stays in the form, has it glitters, whatever it is. That's really what Rashi appears to be saying, that it's a type of gold that's used for the purpose of jewelry. And the mashal over here is, Rashi does not follow through, is the mashal over here is when it comes to giving musar. Okay, so musar that is received and is listened to is something which is a beautiful thing to observe in this world. A person give a koyach of musar, that is something that is very special. And that really parallels what it says in Pasuk Gidalf. We learned yesterday, the apples of gold, the maskiya is kosef, upon a setting of silver, is davar, a word, davur, that is spoken al ofnov, in the proper place, in the proper time, in the proper setting, where it is well received. Now, this is an important medrash that really touches upon the entire essence of Sefer Mishlei. The medrash says, Bamidbar Rabba, and it says in the end of Melachim, it says when Shlomo HaMelech died, not in the end of Melachim, sorry, in the beginning of Melachim, Malachim Aleph Perik Hey, when Shlomo HaMelech dies, it says in his eulogy about his praise, Vayidaber Shloishes Alofim Moshal. Shlomo HaMelech, I'm going to tell you now, I don't know the depth of what this means, but I just want to bring up that this is a very important pasuk in understanding Mishlei and understanding in general Shir HaShirim and Koheles and everything that Shlomo HaMelech wrote and said. It says in the pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech spoke Vayidaber Shloishes Alofim Moshal, 3,000 parables, 3,000 mishalim. Shloishas alofim moshal. So along comes the Medrash, Omar Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Really? Shlomo HaMelech, he gave over, transmitted 3,000 mishalim? Let's make a calculation. They took out Koheles, they took out Mishlei, they took out Shir HaShirim, they went through all of the his writings, and they only came out with 800. Omar Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Chazarnu al kol hamikros v'loy matzinu shenisnabe Shlomo elo koroiv l'shmoina me'os psukim 800. 800 psukim is the calculation, whatever that means. I'm sure that itself is worth a doctorate to figure out even what that means. 800, to make a calculation, we exactly get close to 800 psukim. V'ato oimer shloishes alofim moshal. What then does it mean in Sefer Melachim 3,000? Ela melamed. Here come the key words. Ela melamed. Shekol pasuk upasuk shamar yesh boi shnayim ushloisha ta'amim. Two or three reasons. Every single pasuk was never meant by Shlomo to be interpreted one way. Every word of Shlomo Melech has depth. Every pasuk has depth, and it's meant to be interpreted at least two or three, which would bring from 800 to double and triple, 150% to approximately 3,000. That's now and then. Now the Gemara, the Medrash wants to give one example to illustrate this idea. Like I told you, I don't know what this means, but one example to show that you have a pasuk. Well, there are 800 psukim, and I'll give you an example. One example where it's obvious, clear as day, that there are two interpretations in the pasuk, two mishalim and one pasuk, and that's going to be a binyanah for all other 800 psukim, that it's not meant to be interpreted as a single mashal, but it's meant to be interpreted in two, three ways, and that's the pasuk that we just read right here, the pasuk of the Nezem Zohav. This pasuk, Nezem Zov, V'chali Chosem, which according to the simple interpretation is there are two different expressions. It's one pasuk, and in this one pasuk there are two mishalim. We're comparing the idea of a Mechia Chocham al Oizen Shoimoas to one hand to a Nezem Zohav, but mitzad sheni to a chali chosem, an ornament of gold. Now, according to Mitsudos, which I was unable to translate because I can't figure out what it means, it appears that it's one piece of jewelry. It's a piece of jewelry that has a gold ring attached to Vachali Chosem, attached to some type of ornament made also from another type of gold. That's seemingly what the Mitsudos seems to say. But the Medrash clearly says no. There are two different pieces of jewelry. There's a Nezem Zav, which simply means a gold an earring, and an earring, the pasuk, that's how we learn from by the eagle. The eagle, Moshe Rabbeinu, told the people they should give the rings, the earrings of their wives and their themselves and their children. The women refused to participate. The men gave away their own. The men gave away their own earrings, and then when it says v'chali chosem, that's another piece of jewelry, similar, that has nothing to do with a ring. That's just a piece of jewelry which a woman attaches. Maybe it's a pin, maybe it's some type of choker or some type of bracelet. It does not say exactly what it is. It's a chali chosem, and here in this very one pasuk, we're giving two mishalim. And this pasuk will now serve as a binyan av for all the other 800 psukim that were authored by, that were composed by Shlomo HaMelech. And if you really study them well, you can break apart the pasuk into multiple parts, and you'll find in every single pasuk two or three different mishalim. Now, obviously, that opens up the bigger picture. So, what exactly does this pasuk then? First of all, this pasuk is an amazing pasuk. This pasuk is serving as the mashal for all 800 psukim. That itself is worthy of a discussion. And secondly, what's the difference between a nezem zav and a chali chosef? I don't know. One thing I just want to point out, that we, going back to what we discussed on Friday, that I don't remember where I saw this. No, I do remember. I saw this in the Sefer Sha'ari Aaron. Sha'ari Aaron is a very popular Sefer on Chumash. He has many volumes, probably 20 volumes that he put out recently. I don't use those anymore because it's too much. Look what he put out. What he did was he put out a new set, two volumes. Then he basically, he took the best. Sefer Shayaron is basically a parish by it's a Likud, it's a very good Likud. I don't remember his name. He lives in Borough Park. It's a parish on Chumash, Pshat, but he goes through all of the Rishayim and he explains the Targum. He works through the Targum and Rashi. He works through the Psukim, and again, he recently, not so recently, about five, six years ago, he put out another, just a two-volume set on Chamish Eichum Shei Torah, where he presents just the Ikarim, the best of his work. And there, he does make this point, if I'm not mistaken, that if you search Tanakh, you will discover that a Nezem is always used in reference to a nose ring, not an earring. And the only place we have the word nezem in reference to the ear is in the egel, which seems to indicate, and then we connected this idea of the niritza. The niritza ear is pierced because he heard on Har Sinai, Hashem say, "Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, v'lo avodim l'avodim." So why were the Jewish people wearing earrings? Why were they wearing nose rings at this point in time? The answer is because their ears, everyone viewed themselves as being a holy niritza, a niritza to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They heard on Har Sinai, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha," that ear that heard those beautiful words, they wanted to adorn it by putting on a ring. And which ring did they put on? Not just an ordinary earring, they put on a nose ring, because the nose represents the koyach of chayim, and kili b'nei anochi Hashem ulakecha is the essence of life.
So they put it on by Har Sinai.
That's what it seems. They put on. We find Klal Yisrael wearing nose rings on their ears at Har Sinai. Why? What's the significance of wearing a nose ring on the ear? After they said Nasa, what's the significance of a nose ring on the ear? First of all, on the ear is to adorn the ear that heard the words of the Aseres HaDibros. They were Zeicha to be the generation that heard Pe'el Pe'ach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu say the words Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And they didn't just put on a regular earring, they put on a nose ring, because a nose ring represents the Koyach of Chayim. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim Torah toras chayim. This is a drush, but here what I want to point out is here we have nezem zav, and the nezem zav is a marshal for oizem shoymoas, which seems to indicate also that you should take a nezem, which is a nose ring, according to the Shari Aaron. It's not an earring; it's a nose ring. Right, that's what I said. But it's a nose ring. It's a nezem shem tachshit hanosun af al af. Oh, beferish. Okay, it's mamish explicit. You don't need the Shari Aaron. There's the mitzvah sin, which is mitzvah sin. When was it written? In the 15th century, 16th century, something I believe, maybe later, something along those lines. But he mamish says it's hanosun al af. And yet the pasuk says that this is a marshal for oizen shaymoas, for an ear that's listening, which seems to indicate is that an ear that listens to the words of beautiful words, it's kedai. Mitzuda says it refers to the musar. The musar is a beautiful nose ring for those that are listening to it. Okay, but there is a connection between a nezem and the oizen shoy moas. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Interesting pasuk right after. Now we're suffering from a heat wave here in Flatbush. And so here the pasuk tells us, pasuk Gimel, Kitzina Shelag Yom Katsir Tsir Neman Lisholchav V'Nefesh Adonav Yashiv. If you notice that since we started this Perek Perek Chaf Hei, Gam Eile Divrei Shlomo, the psukim are a little bit longer. The psukim are long and they seem to have an additional clause. I've noticed that. And these psukim, maybe that's why they were not part of the original. There's another dimension in each one of these psukim. And here, like, you have the nefesh, adoyin of yashiv. We had before. Some of the Yom Kippur psukim, there's a little bit longer. But the pasuk here says that the coldness of snow, the Yom Katsir, on the day of harvest. When do we harvest the field? In the summertime. Summertime, it's very, very hot. It's scorching hot. It's 100 degrees out there. And people are chalishing away. And people at that point in time, you'll say to them, how would you like if it would snow? How would you like some delicious snow? The coldness to make a snowman, to bury your face in snow. You would be thrilled. Okay, in the winter, it's not exactly very pleasant to have the snow, but here it says, Kitsinas, the pleasure of the coldness of snow, the Yom Kotsir, on a boiling hot day, that delight is a marshal for proper leadership. If you have a leader that knows what he's doing and is able to give his followers confidence and faith, that they will be taken care of in a responsible way. Tzir Neman. Tzir means a messenger. Tzir means a leader. Neman, that is faithful. L'sholcha, for his people, for those that sent him. The nefesh adonav yashiv. And this experience of finding, discovering, appointing responsible and faithful leadership, it restores the soul of a person that is the soul of the master, meaning every person is a master over their own soul, is restored to with the awareness that we have a responsible leader. And the mashal for this idea is the refreshing cold that one can acquire on a boiling hot day. Like, you ever go to a refrigerator? I remember when I was in camp, they had outdoors. They had an outdoor. You know, they have trucks. They have trucks. Pesach time, these freezers, and in front of the bakeries, and Yom Tov time. So trailers. So in camp, when I was in Mogen Avraham, I was looking. They had there in the middle of the camp. They had an outdoor refrigerator, permanent, not a trailer. It was a permanent outdoor refrigerator where they stored the milk. They stored the milk and, I don't know, perishables were stored in this. It was right near the kitchen. And every so often I was working. I was a CIT. I had to go pick up some milk. I had to go pick up some, I don't know, whatever it was. So, and it was very, very hot. And it was machaya. Ah, you go, it's 100 degrees, and you go into this refrigerator. It's an ice, it's like a size of half of a room. It's like, not as big as this room, but it's a nice. It's a big, it's refreshing. That's exactly what it says here. It's the refreshing coldness of the snow on a hot summer day. That's the mashal for a nefesh, a soul, discovering a leader that is faithful. Let's look at the Mitzudos David Pasuk Yud Gimel Kitzinas Kimo, like Kiriras Hashelik, the coldness of snow. He Lenachas is a form of pleasure in Miyim Tzeenu. If a person can discover, a person can find, theoretically speaking, if a person can find cold, the coldness Be'ez Hakotzir at the time of harvest. To cool off one's body. I've read in the article that there was a technique in ancient times that they actually took snow, they stored snow underground in caves that were naturally cold for the summertime.
Ice. You do that with ice.
You do it with ice?
Sure. Ice house.
So it's
they had ice in all the ice.
It's
boxes.
Taken literally that they actually.
In Boston, I was selling the snow.
He's putting away. He's shipping away. But you can
print in California, etc.
But you can make it artificially today. You don't need to go and ship it away. In ancient times, you couldn't artificially. Today we can make snow. Right? There are ice sculptures. You can make snow and ice artificially. But in ancient times, you couldn't make it artificially. So if you in the winter, they actually shoveled away. They must have had a lot of workers to do this.
They would go to a little, they would cut out cubes of ice.
Cut out ice and the snow. And they put it away. They stored it away underground. And they retrieved it in the hot summertime to use. That's what it says.
The ice trucks going around? With a grinder in the back?
Mm-hmm. That was probably artificial ice. That's not real ice. That's made electronically. But Esau called, so Lahakir Bayes, since the Gov came Tsir Nemon, so to the Tsir Nemon, a leader, a messenger, is a messenger. Nasher, he Lenachas Lemishalchoi, Umeshiv Nafshoi. And a person who has a leader, a messenger, it really is a messenger. It's not really a leader. It's a messenger. I told you it's a leader. I made a mistake. It's a messenger that he is faithful. He's a shliach. A tzir means a messenger. If someone who sends him, the nefesh adon of Yashiv, the person that sent him, which meaning the nefesh adon of Yashiv, according to the mitzvahs, appears to be referring back to the sholchav. The sholchav, he has, oh, I don't have to worry. I have confidence that the messenger will fulfill the mission. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi, Ketzina Shalek, Kikor Yimesh, like the coldness of the days of winter, She'odam Mis'aveba, a person yearns for such relief, air conditioning. Bimei Kotzir, Veloy Shalek Mamish. According to Rashi, he's rejecting this interpretation. Obviously, Rashi has to reject this. Obviously, Rashi read the art scroll. And Rashi saw that there are other commentators that learn it means literally snow that was stored away underground in the wintertime. Rashi, that's not mistaver. That's not what the pasuk means. It's a mashal. V'loy shelig mamish, sha'sheleg loy toiv hu b'shas katzin. The reason why is because shelig is not good in the summer. It doesn't mean that you wish, you're praying that it should snow in the summertime. If it snows in the summertime, the crops will be destroyed. So you're not praying for snow. It means like the coldness, the refreshing cold wind in the summertime is something a person yearns for, and that is refreshing, like a person that has confidence in a messenger that he will succeed on his mission. Now, there's a very interesting a medrash. The medrash is in Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, Perek Mem. It says that Shavuos is called, we just read this pasuk's parasha, the Chag HaKotzir. Okay, Chag HaOsif is Sukkis, and the Chag HaKotzir. Wait. So what is what is Chag HaKotzir is Shavuos, and what is Pesach? Chag HaAviv. Chag HaAviv. Chag HaKotzir and Chag HaOsif. So why is Shavuos called Chag HaKotzir? So the answer is obvious. It's the time of the harvest. That's when you harvest the crop. But the Medrash says the word Kotzir has the letters Tzir, HaKotzir, and Tzir is in this pasuk Gimel we just read is a messenger. Who is the messenger for Klal Yisrael? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the ultimate, is the perfect messenger. The Tzir Neman. Moshe Avdi. What does the pasuk say about Moshe? Behold, Beisi Nemanu. Nemanu. Moshe is the Tzir. That's Neman. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu do on Shavuos? The Chag HaKotzir on Shavuos. He was mekabel the Torah. He served as our agent to be mekabel the Torah from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe achieved his primary role as a messenger on Shavuos. So it's a fascinating twist. That's an idea. That's something to that. I hear, but the Medrash just says that this is what it says that he's called. It's called the Chag HaKotzir in order to give credit to Moshe. Moshe is the Tzir, and Shavuos he was Mekabel the Torah. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yudalit. Pasuk Yudalit Nisiim v'ruach, clouds and wind. The Geshem Oyin, but there's no rain. Ish is a mashal for an ish mishalel, a person who promises, praises himself, b'mata shoker, to pledge gifts that are false. People pledge. What? Why is there? I don't know if you have a pay in your I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we're discussing a new topic. Maybe it's a new topic because the previous pasuk.
There's no pay in the beginning of the parak.
Gamhim divrei mishle. I don't know. The peik. I don't. Okay. I don't know. I don't know the answer. It's a new parsha. Maybe it's a collector. It's a new theme. Must then be a new one. New one.
Just like Shelley.
It's a new. I know. It's a new idea. Now we're going to. Okay. I don't know. I really don't know. So the pasuk over here talks about clouds and wind, but the geshem, which means that according to the meteorologists, it should rain. How many times we listen to a weather forecast, and they tell us that there's a 90% chance that it's going to rain, and it doesn't rain, and how do they explain it? In this day and age, with all the technology, it just goes to show there are certain things. Although we spend a lot of time on this concept, and we learned Sefer Eiv, that with all of the technology, it's still Biyad Hashem. It's not something which is scientific. There can be wind, and there can be clouds, and all of the conditions can be perfect for there to be rain. Yet if Hashem does not want there to be rain, there is no rain. The Mafteach, the key to Geshem, the first staff of Masech Tainis, is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is not something which is scientific. This is what Chazal say. That's what the Pasuk says. And the proof is in the pudding. Because they can never be 100% accurate in predicting when it's going to rain, when it's not going to rain. It has a life of its own. There can be clouds and there can be wind, but the Geshem Oyin, why? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tease us? Why does Hashem tease us? We're yearning. We don't live in an agricultural society, but if we did, the farmers, they're yearning. It's they anticipate, their parnasa depends upon the rain. And yet they're so disappointed. They're yearning. Oh, there are clouds. There's wind. The conditions are perfect. It should rain. Mishaf parnasa, revach, and then nothing happens. And there's a drought. And the crops wither. And there's no parnasa. Why? It's mida kineged mida. Because people how they do the same thing. They promise, they make promises, and the anim, they're hoping, they're yearning, yes, that just in a day or two we're going to get the check is in the mail, and the check never comes. Mishalel, ish mishalel, b'mat hashekel, people, they promise, they make promises, and they praise themselves, yes, I'm a great person, I'm going to give a lot of tzedakah, and the anim have confidence, and they have faith, and they are sorely disappointed. Mida, keneged mida, Hashem punishes mankind by lifting us up with hope that there's going to be rain and nothing happens. Let's see the Mesulas and Pasuk Gedalid. Nesiyim kamo im yavohu anonim v'yinoshev haruach, clouds arrive and the wind blows. The yitzpu os al hamotar. Everyone yearns. The hamoin am yearns for the rain to descend. V'lo yavo. And it doesn't come. Sha'oz, at that moment, Meruba Tsar Hametzap. There's nothing, no greater tsar in this world than being disappointed. When you have expectations and their expectations are dashed. Sha'oz, Meruba Tsar Hametzap. Cain, similarly, the nimshal is Ish Hameshabech Atzmo B'Seis Matan L'mi. A person praises himself. He promises that he's going to give tzedakah, he's going to give a gift to another party. The Yishaker B'Amorav. And he does not keep his words. Keep Zei Yirbe Hatzar Hametzabe. There is great pain to the person that anticipated the gift. Pasuk Yudalid in Rashi. Nesiyim V'ruach V'goymer Kashayye Techeles Shav. When there is false hope. Techeles means hope. Shav is false. Kehashamayim. Kishe Hashamayim Miskashrim Be'ovim. The heavens thicken with clouds. V'ruach min hasheves, and wind blows, which is the necessary condition for it to rain. V'adam etzapesh shoyav Hashem v'loy bo. V'heim etzadim. Mankind is in pain. V'choloy sineim, and their eyes are dimmed. Kach. Similarly, ish misboer loymar, he prays himself to say kach v'kach tztok etin, I'll give tztok liyad gabai v'mishaker v'chulois ini anim, and the anim, the poor people who are waiting for the gift, their eyes become dim limato noso, for his gift v'einibo, and it does not arise. Okay, so this is the simple interpretation of the pasuk. Now there's a beautiful medrash. Okay, the medrash really. What? I know. I was once. My mother always used to say she was once in shul and she was sitting. She was sitting next to the secretary, and there was a yisker appeal, And she was sitting in the Eretz Nashim next to the secretary, and they were calling out, they made an appeal, whatever the appeal was, and all of these fancy people calling $1,000, $500, whatever, going to, and the woman says to my mother, they're a bunch of liars. I'm the secretary here. I'm telling you, they all pledge, and the checks never come in. So, it's all for show. It's scary business. What? I'm sure they send a bill. You know, all the shuls have the paper clips. All the machers are walking around with the paper clips. And and where's the money? Okay. Pledges. Okay. Now, Chazal also, this is the Gemara Masechet Tanis, of the Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein hagishamim ne'etzarim ela b'shul poiske tzedakah barabim. Just the Chazal Rashi and the Metzilas are really paraphrasing this Chazal, the Gemara Tainus Tavches. The only reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu withholds rain is because of poiske tzedakah barabim. In public, people that pledge to give money barabim, they ain noistim shenemar, nesim v'ruach, there are clouds and there is wind, v'geshemoyin, and there is no rain. Why? Mida k'neged mida, ish mishalel, it's a Gemara, Masechta Tainus. Gemara Masechta Tavches, ish mishalel, mishalel means publicly praises, pledge, I'm going to give $1,000, and the check doesn't come in the mail. The check never, even if they send a check, they send a check for $18. They send it for $500, they don't send a check for what they pledge.
Presidents do this, of shuls. It says here, Beferish, Nesim.
Nesim are the princes, and Echanami, this is the Nasi, the Nasi. The Hanesim, and you're calling another Chazal. Okay, the Geshem Ish Mishalel B'mata Sheker, not to make a false pledge. It's a very serious Avera. Banim Mason Geshem Ketanim. That's a neder. So it's not mamish a neder. When a person pledges, make a pledge. It's not mamish. You don't use the word neder. Okay, when they get an aliyah, that's a very big shiloh. When they get an aliyah and you pledge, so do you say this? So some holy should say mamish neder. They actually say the words. And some should say b'li neder. But if you're saying b'li neder, so then it doesn't really have any toikif, any meaning. Some used the, there were places, every place has their own custom, where there's hakpod, the bedafka. You make a pledge, you gotta keep it. You're in front of the Sefer Torah, and you're promising money for a cause, whatever the cause is, they makbid actually to say the word neder. Other places of chas v'shalom, they don't want to be makshul, someone should suffer, so they say b'li neder. But once they b'li neder, then you're not really bound to keep your word. Well, they'll shut down your electricity and your gas and your water if you don't pay your bills. That's Gneva. That's mamish. It's worse than this. Because there, someone provided a service. That's much even worse. If a person was someone spent their time and effort to provide you with a service and you don't pay your bill, you're a ganaf. Here, you're not a ganaf because you don't owe anyone anything. This is a pledge out of the gift of your heart. But you have to keep your word. You have to keep your word. If so, you go to the doctor, and the doctor, you know, he's entitled. He spent his time. He's not doing it for free. And you owe him your own money. It's okay, there's your insurance, and there's copays, and there's this and that. Whatever obligation you have, if you don't fulfill your obligation, that's much worse. It's mamash gneva. You don't pay for electricity. You don't pay for, the government collection agencies, and so on and so forth. All right, so this is the basics. The Mepharshim point out is that Teva, okay, the Balei Musar, they take this pasuk and they elaborate a little bit more, is that the nature, the Teva imitates the midos of a person. What's the mashal? The mashal Teva, rain is something which is Teva. If there are clouds and there's wind, l'chorel derech ha-teva, nature, there should be rain. It's the lesson is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He created the world where nature imitates the character, the midos of human beings. If human beings are liars, then nature lies. Nature, Teva, lies. That man has a major impact upon society. Your hanhogos, is the midah shat moided ba moided in bo is the way nature will reciprocate to you. So some of the Baalim also want to suggest is that it parallels man's midos, that some men overreact. Sometimes a person does things, he goes overboard, he overreacts, he's destructive in his conduct. Midah k'neged midah, nature follows in that fashion. Obviously, you know, you can't generalize because Tzadik v'raloi, Rosh of Etoivlo, so there's no set rule, but... So the Chofetz Chaim, what did Chofetz Chaim say? I don't remember, what did he say?
It affects that it was a result of something that happened, whatever, but he recognized the destruction.
There's a far from the Chofetz Chaim. I read this in one of the biographies. That when was the Great Depression? What year was the Great Depression? So right before he died, Chofetz Chaim died in 33, and the Great Depression was when?
29.
So 4 years before he was nifta. So the Chofetz Chaim said, this was in the biography. I told this to an economist. He wasn't so happy with this whole idea, but I'll tell you what I read there. Chofetz Chaim said, why did the Great Depression happen? Because man, it is midah k'neged midah. Man lost faith in God. He explains this as what is this? Is how the Chofetz Chaim said, what is the economy based upon? Faith. People, the economy, the momentum of the economy is built upon man. Man has faith in the fellow man. You have to borrow. A healthy economy requires continuous. You have to borrow. Faith, credit. Yeah, there has to be credit. And credit is credit. I'm lending you money because I have faith that you will pay me back. I have faith. You will work, you will accomplish, and you will pay me back. Interest, of course. You'll pay me back. That's what the economy is built upon. Is that absolutely true? So someone told me that's not in the modern economy, that's not necessarily 100% true. That's not the way the economy works. I don't know anything about economics. But seemingly this is a very important part of the economy, where the basic foundation of the economy is faith. Man must have faith in his fellow man in order to extend credit, and extending credit needs faith. Chofetz Chaim says that he witnessed in his own lifetime, Yiridus Hadaras, man lost faith in God. When he was a child, the degree of emunah man had in HaKadosh Baruch Hu was even of a non-Jew, was much greater. In God we trust. There's something to it. There's something to believing in God. The Yiridus Hadaras, man became irreligious. They don't have faith in God. You don't have faith in me, Hashem says. Midah k'neged midah, I'm going to punish you that you will not have faith in yourself, in man. Man doesn't want to have faith in God. The punishment will be man will not have faith in man. And when man does not have faith in man, the economy collapses.
That's the reason.
It has to be a punishment.
What?
It can be a logical consequence of that man. If a man loses faith in God, then it's certainly going to lose.
Why?
Fellow man.
Why today? Why is that so? Man doesn't have faith. There are many people that don't have faith in God, but they have faith in their fellow man. They lend money. There are many successful businessmen that lend millions, billions of dollars, and they're atheists. They don't believe in God. But I believe in you. I believe you have a good idea.
No,
you're a startup. I believe in whatever it is. I believe, and I'll lend you money. You'll pay me back. And when you'll pay, that's...
But if it works, for example, if I can make a deal with you, if
yeah.
I trust you and you trust me, I don't need a lawyer, I don't need an accountant, I don't need to write a 15-page contract.
But put that aside. Let's talk...
What we're doing is going to be much less expensive.
But put that aside. Just talk about even with a contract. When you lend money, business, it's a great business to lend to a bank. Bank, my father used to tell me, bank is the best business. It's the easiest business. What do? You don't have to build anything. You don't have to work in a factory. You don't have to get your hands dirty. Just lend money. I lend you money, and you pay me back more money. It's as easy as that's it. That's as easy as pie. A mortgage. Why are the only stores on Avenue J that survive are the banks and Bar Park? They're the only ones that can afford the rent. Why? If they just give one mortgage, if a bank just does one mortgage, that's enough to pay the rent. And if you have 20 mortgages, so then you're set for life. What?
Subprime mortgages killed them in 2008.
So that's exactly the same thing. The recession, exactly. What was the recession?
The banks were bailed out.
It was the same exact principle. Is that?
Money, even after,
all right. Okay, you have to know, understand how these things work. But this is what I'm telling you. I'm not making this up. It says this. There's a classic biography from the Chofetz Chaim. It was translated by Art Scroll. There was one biography that was written by a Talmud. It's a very dry biography. It's more like a sefer. It's not really. It goes through the life of Chofetz Chaim in a very. In a very raw, intellectual way. It was translated by Art Scroll, and there, in one of the chapters, it brings out this idea. And to some degree, that idea is really what's being said over here in this pasuk. When it comes to teva, when it comes to nature, there's ruach, all of the conditions are right, but it doesn't go. Doesn't work. The car doesn't start. Everything is perfect. All the parts of the engine are there. There's something that doesn't work. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world. Mida k'neged mida. The person's midos are corrupt. Hashem will reciprocate and cause the teva also to behave in a corrupt way. What? I don't remember. I think I discussed this with him. My father. I don't remember. What? I don't remember. I really don't remember. It was a long time ago. Yeah.
Nature reflects man's behavior idea.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, that's an extremely difficult correlation to make. But we're told that Klal Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a relationship.
Yeah.
If we behave, then nature will respond. If we don't behave, then nature won't respond. But on an individual level.
Yeah.
That's far more difficult to.
Of course.
We need. World at large. Extremely difficult to.
The world definitely has an obligation to recognize there's a creator. That's Dvarim Pshutim. The role of Mashiach will be.
Being that it manifests itself in nature.
Why not? I mean, that's what the idea is.
It's obscure to read the same books. That's why.
Okay, all right. It's an idea. Like, let's go further. Now, this pasuk really connects into the next pasuk. Bo'orech apayim yifute kotzin, v'loshon raka tishbar garem. With patience, a leader is appeased, and with a soft tongue, tishbar garem. Garem is the It means the bone, an etzem. Garm is another word for yisachar chamor gorem. Is a boned, a thick boned donkey. Chamor gorem, heavy bones. Garm here means bone, and the bone in this context means the itzuma sheldavar, the essence of the matter. That with a soft atzmius, with a soft Yom Ha'atzma'ot. V'loshon Raka is with a soft tongue, Tishba Garem, the essence of the matter will dissipate, will be smashed. If there is an issue, if the leader has an issue with his people, the cuts, we have a leader, and the leader here is upset, he is angry, because his subjects have violated his command, so there's a major issue. If the subjects will speak politely, with a soft tongue, the whole issue will be brushed under the rug. Will completely, the garim, the etzem, the issue will disappear. Let's see the mitzudos, pasik tesla, bo'orech apayim, if a leader gets angry at a subject, against one of his people, and the subject knows how to play the game. He knows how just to accept, to listen, and to be patient, and to bear the anger of the leader, v'lo yoshev amorim, and does not respond, does not... I'm sorry, I skipped? Pasuk Yudalit, I believe so, yes. I did, so yes, we did Pasuk Yudal, we did the Mitzvah, we did the Rashi, yes, we did them both. Okay, Pasuk Tezvav, im akotzin yichoy salmi v'hu ma'arich hapo, and the subject is patient, lispol hakas, to listen, let the leader vent, let him get angry, v'lo yashiv amorim, and let him not, does not respond, oz bavur ze yifute mimenu, then the leader, when the leader sees that his subject is receptive to his musr, to his kas, he will automatically be appeased. He will calm down, will be satisfied, and the tanuach kamosa, and his anger will subside. Sifuti will become your friend. He'll become your friend. He'll be appeased. He'll be very happy with you. V'loshon rakah. Here is poetic repetition. V'loshon rakah. Vim yosef l'daber l'mulo. Rakah. I think it's rakos. I have a base in my... I have a base. You have a base in your text? I think it should be a chof. It should be a rakos. And if the subject will... Not only will he listen, but he will respond, "You're right. I'm sorry." In America, they want... They want all, you know, the politicians. They want the politicians, the people who commit crimes, to say you're sorry. You always see that in the news. That when a person is accused of a crime, it's an amazing thing. If you right away you say chotasi, you can get away with literally murder. Mm-hmm. And the people that are defiant It does not work out well. It's not a joke. It's, you see this over and over. In America, they're very, very willing, the system of government, they're very willing, if you just say you're sorry, you immediately confess remorse, you're not going to get off scot-free, but you do find, consistently, if you study, you do find that over and over, there's a lot of leniency. A lot more leniency, even in terrible things. People will do the worst things. Charata, I'm going for therapy. We're going to deal with it. You know, they have this certain. I think the OU. I know someone that worked for the OU, and they had that scandal with PETA. Someone secretly brought in a video camera into the slaughterhouse. Not a Rabashkin. That's a different thing. That was different.
Brought into his.
But that had nothing to do with him. That had to do with animal cruelty. So the OU was caught off guard, and I think that since that point time and onward, they hired. Check this out. They hired up. There are companies. There are services that deal with crisis management. That deal with the media. And they teach you, and you have a problem. You're a big company. A lot of them are very big. Every company, publicly traded company, they get into trouble. Some type of accusation is made, whatever it could be, possibly be. They are companies that are professionals. They know exactly what to say. And what do they say? And what do they teach you? So I was told this. They teach you. What do these companies teach you? They say, you're right. We made a mistake. We're guilty. We're going to address the issue. We're all going for therapy. Whatever you do wrong, you have to say we're right. We're going for therapy. We're addicted, and we're going to deal with it. We're going to lock ourselves up for 3 months in a special facility and deal with it. That is what in this country they want to hear. And if that's what you hear, you can get away with murder. Not mamish murder, but pretty close to it. It's a fact. But if you're defiant, I'm not going to tell you Lashon Hara, but I can tell you the examples of people out there who are defiant. They are accused, and they're defiant, and it does not go off well. The more defiant you are, even though you may be right, but it's yotza schodei behefseidei. That's right, exactly. That's right. It's Fortunately. Okay, it's a very big problem. And that's what it says here, Loshen Raka. Loshen Raka, Tishbatsim, Sefer Shepatsim, Yosef Ladabu, Lemuloi Rakois, Oz Hadover Hazet, Tishover, Vitibotel, Koishi Hakas. It shatters and is Mevatel, the Koishi. The Koishi means the intensity of the Kas, Mikol Vuchol. Okay, so this is the, okay, let's see over here, Rashi, Pasek Tezvav, Be'orech Apayim, with patience. Yefute Kotzin, Be'odsh. Now here, Rashi over here is right away entering into a little bit of more of a medrash. We're interpreting this pasuk down here. The Kotzin here refers to Hakadosh Baruch Hu bechvoid v'yatzmai. Be'odsh Hakadosh Baruch Hu marech apay, and he's interpreting it a different, not like the mitzudos. There's a little bit of a different twist on this pasuk. While Hakadosh Baruch Hu is marech apay, let's take a step back. According to the mitzudos, the orech apayim is the subject. Is the subject that is who's being accused, who you're angry at. The person that's being accused, the subject, he is the one that should be patient. Let the kotzin, let the accuser, the prosecutor, let him vent. Let him go at you. You, the one that's on the receiving end, show patience. Be tolerant. That's Rashi. According to Mitzudas. Rashi says just the opposite. The kotzin, while the prosecutor is patient, the person has committed a crime, and they're deliberating, what should we do with this criminal? What should we do with him? So they're not going to punish him right away. They're going to wait. They're going to watch. Let's see what he does. Let's observe how he behaves for the trial period, for the next week, for the next month. While the prosecutor is showing patience, that is when the subject should do everything in his power to be mefat, to appease the prosecution. What? Or you do tshuva, say, you're right, I'm sorry, I have charata, I made a mistake, I'm not going to do it again. But once the sentence has been handed down, the verdict has been decided, we're putting you away for 20 years, it's too late. Too little, too late. But until, while they're still showing patience, while the prosecution is showing patience and is willing to negotiate, that is when you have an opportunity to do tshuva, charata, vidui, and to amend your ways. Be'od she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu is marich apoy. A person chas v'shalom does an avera, and he knows he is in trouble, and he knows the day of reckoning is coming. But right now I'm walking around scot-free. Right now, nothing, the bolt of lightning did not yet come upon me. So right now, things are okay. Now's your chance to do tshuva. If a person should pay attention, the sinner should pay close attention, lapatoso, to appease Hashem, b'shuva u'sefila. U'loshon raka, what else should a person do? He should pray. B'sefila u'vesachanunim. And if a person does this, then tishbor gorem, what's gorem? Etzem koshi hagzer, the essence. Etzem is a bone. The bone is the essence. Atzmi ubisori at. Lavan said to Yaakov Avinu, "You want a mind? You're my blood relative. You're atzmi. You're my same bone. But here it doesn't just mean you're my bone and flesh. It means that you're we're one and the same. We've been quarried from the same mountain." The etzem koshi hagzer, the essence of the different, the gzer of the punishment will be dissolved. Okay, this is Rashi, the Mesudos, two different interpretations, and now let me present you with a very nice medrash. The medrash connects the pasuk Yudal pasuk Tezov, and its direction is in reference to last week. It's parashas Kisisa to the Chei to Egel. Now, what does it mean? Is Nisim v'ruach v'geshem ayin? Now, I'm not exactly sure I'm interpreting this correctly, but it's not. But we learned the pasuk al derech pshat. That's a negative. It's a very negative statement. There's clouds and there's wind and there's no rain. My high, how come there's no rain? Nature, there's something wrong. Oh, it's because ish mishalal b'mat hashoken. That's the simple interpretation, but the Medrash seems to say it in the positive form. When was there an event in history when there was clouds and there was wind and there was no rain for good? Matan Torah. Matan Torah, the Anani HaKavod, Hashem's presence came down on Har Sinai. Did it rain? There was thunder and lightning. There was wind and there were clouds. Was there any rain? I don't think it says anywhere in any Medrash that it rained at Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, when we received the Torah, there was no rain. But there were thick clouds. And there was ruach. There were spiritual clouds. It was a spiritual ruach. Maybe it was physical ruach and clouds also. I don't know. But the geshem oyin. There was no rain because Hashem was giving us the Torah. And what did we say? Klal Yisrael said, "Kol asher diber Hashem naaseh v'nishma." That's what we did. That's what Klal Yisrael did. It was a big lie. Really, naaseh v'nishma. 40 days later, we found ourselves dancing around the ego. So we're just a bunch of show-offs, a bunch of fakers, like the people who pledge in shul $1,000 and don't send in $18. There was nesim v'ruach v'geshem oyin. It was matan Torah. There were clouds. There was wind, and there was no rain because Hashem wasn't giving us rain. Hashem was giving us the Torah, which is not physical. And ish mishalel, and every man said, "Ribbono shel avada nasa v'nikol asher diva Hashem nasa v'nishma." But it was ultimately a big lie. It was a matas, a gift. The words were a gift of sheker. And then what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu had to come to our rescue. Ba'orach ha'payim yifute kotzin. It's only through Moshe Rabbeinu's use of the midah of Erech HaPayim, Hashem show patience to Klal Yisrael, was he able to appease the Kotzin, meaning the Ribbono Shel Olam, v'lashon raka, and Moshe's soft expression, Zechor l'Avraham l'Yitzchak l'Yaakov, was he able, Tishbar, to break Gorem, the Gzera of v'chilisicha. I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. So we take these two psukim and we put it together. I just want to point out that last week on Friday we discussed the Machlokes, the Ramban and Ibn Ezra, by Chal Moshe, Hashem Elokim. When Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel, is it in Muktam Mu'uchar Ba'atara? According to the parish of the Ramban, when it says Vayichal Moshe, it's not in the proper place in the Torah because it can't be that Moshe Rabbeinu was pleading for forgiveness when Klal Yisrael is still worshipping the ego. So it has to be that Moshe was mispalel Vayichal Moshe after he already shattered the luchos when he went back up to Shemayim. In Mukta, Mukta Torah was put in this location. However, the Ibn Ezra disagrees and says, no, this is where Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel. And the question is obvious, but you're not mispalel for forgiveness when you're still in the middle of doing the Avera. It's like what the Gemara says, you toivel the sheretz beyond. If you go to the mikvah, you're holding on to a sheretz, you're not tar. So we explained last week from Rav Atya, the beautiful idea is that Moshe Rabbeinu was not, according to the Ibn Ezra, was not asking for mechila, he was asking for patience. And that's mamash what it says here. In this pasuk, if you take this pasuk and you interpret the pasuk according to the interpretation of Nesim v'Ruach Matan Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu's response of Be'orech HaPayim Mifutei Kotzin, Moshe's not asking for Mechila. Hashem, we got a problem. We're going to work on it. We're going to deal with it. We're going to solve. I'm not asking for Mechila. Mechila is later. Doesn't say in the past that Hashem forgave. Vayinochem Hashem al Haro'o Asher Diber Lasos Liamo. Give me some time. Give me some time to rectify the situation. It's mamish explicit, like the Ibn Ezra's Mahalach, Be'oyrach apayim yifute kotzin. Okay, we will stop over here.